Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and before we begin today, a message from Dave Cribb.
Oh, straight in, is it? Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Yeah. In fact,
the first thing maybe we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I think, like, maybe we should just do a warning that there will be a regular episode of Friends with Friends, but first, an important message.
Yes, if you don't want to listen to this, skip forward 1 minute. I think that's all it'll take.
1 minute?
Yeah, 1 to 4 minutes.
Okay. 4 to 8.
Only 1 minute. If you are a new listener, by the way, welcome, and please be aware.
Imagine if you just started listening 2 weeks
yeah,
ago.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. This very rarely happens, so please don't take this as an indication of the sort of what this podcast is in general. You might have heard a couple of weeks ago Pete address a small critique, you know?
A hater.
Yeah. A hater. And then I logged on to our reviews this week. And I didn't actually log on to them, Pete. They get sent to me automatically. So that was even worse because I was about to go to bed and I was feeling quite content. And then I was annoyed by this from George12784. Title of review, Become
Don't
Disappointing.
Like that number.
I was a really big fan of the podcasts early on. But recently it seems that you guys don't care anymore, which is a shame. You barely go into any detail and skim over a lot of stuff. The Yeti episode was particularly dull and short. Sad face. Well, all I'd like to say, George, and the reason we're addressing it on here is because you've left it as a review and you haven't messaged us. So you've used what I call the coward's approach.
The shit tactics.
Shactics. Yeah, exactly. We can't even delete that. Hey, drop us a message. Drop us a message. We'll engage you in a nice conversation if you really want it. And do you know what, George? I'm sorry. The episode I recorded the week my grandmother died was particularly short and dull.
Oh,
I'm really fucking sorry about that. So I hope you've got what you wanted out of this interaction. Anyway, thanks for putting 3 stars still. That is nice.
Wow. I didn't know you were going to play the grandmother card.
I wasn't going to play it, Pete. It was just the particular week he flagged up and the particular thing that was happening that week.
To be fair, like, I skim read that message when you screenshotted it the other day.
Yeah.
Hearing it read out loud, it's quite not angry, just disappointed, isn't it?
Yeah, very disappointed. Yeah, exactly. Which is fine. I'd like to say that in general, we do care. You've got a little button on your phone. Just turn it off.
Some episodes of Friends are a bit shit.
100%.
So I'm afraid that for some episodes of Friends with Friends, we won't have that much to say.
Yeah, I know. And look, luckily, if you don't think we're going to do enough detail anymore, strap in for this week's episode, Pete, because if you want to know where the office building for Ralph Lauren is, then I've researched it, because I don't think Rachel would be at Central Perk on her lunch hour, and I will go into that detail heavily as we get into this week's episode, okay?
And this week's episode of Friends with Friends will end with a two-person reimagining of the episode where between us we will play every single part and do the whole script from start to finish.
And if you think we're joking, you just stay to the end. Anyway, Pete, would you like a request?
Yeah, I would. In fact, I'd like, do you know what? I'd like two.
Okay. 2K requests this week, a Kirsty and a Kate. You're going to get Kirsty first, who says, "Hi guys, can I please request the one with the engagement picture? The engagement picture bit is not good." Yes, Chandler's being weird. Why would they ever put Joey in the final picture? Makes no sense. But the Phoebe and Ross storyline is so good. They are the best together and the jokes are great. Ross, oh, just say it, Kyle, is hilarious. Love to hear your take on it. Thanks, lads. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Kirsty. Second request from Kate in York. Thank you for including your location. Nice to hear. Hi, Dave and Pete. Love, love, love the pod. Okay. How
we needed that.
We really did. Can't believe we're nearly through all the episodes, though. It's the end of an era. Yeah, I know. Not quite yet. We've still got a few to go.
We're quite a way off. Yeah. Although we have finished an entire season
now. We have. We're closing in. I initially chose this episode because I remember finding the photo storyline so funny and the reveal of Joey in the picture at the end just perfect. On rewatching it, it's a great episode overall. It shows all their character traits so well and has a bunch of things we all like from an episode. Ross and Phoebe, always a great combo. The parody of a breakup argument in the coffee shop is peak, friends. Agreed. Rachel being a bit unhinged. She has some great lines like, "I could spread him on the cracker," which I use a lot. Also, "I had a drink at lunch" to cover her silly remark. It's so good. Yeah, "I had a drink at lunch" is a line I use quite often and not always incorrectly. Monica and Chandler with the photographer is great. She's bossy. He rolls over and does what she wants, but has some really biting lines. Classic of Monica's is, "A local woman saves drowning moron." Yes, very funny line. And then Joey with a sauce and jam on his clothes. Very simple way to set the request from Rachel, but it seems so plausible from knowing him for 7 seasons so far. Can't wait to hear your thoughts and favourite lines. I will also... No, not going to read that sentence, Pete. For the Jeopardy.
Keep that one back.
Absolutely. So season 7, episode 5, the one with the engagement picture, 226404. Yes.
Nice. Really good.
Nice production code, that. Chandler's unable to smile naturally for his and Monica's engagement photo, so Monica ends up taking a photo with Joey. Meanwhile, Joey teaches Tag how to pick up women to Rachel's annoyance, and Ross and Datey, Phoebe, a couple who are divorcing. Why did my brain do that, eh?
Ross and Datey,
Phoebe, a couple who are divorced.
I can't work out how you got... I
screwed up Ross and Phoebe date into Ross and Datey,
oh,
Phoebe.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you made a whole new word.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm quite interested. I'm quite enjoying it. Where would you like to start, Peter? Would you like to start with Ross and Datey? Would you like to start with Joey and Tag or Chandler smile?
I mean, the Ross and Phoebe bit is so great that I feel like we must leave that till the end.
Okay, good. Good.
So
you're showing you're working. I like that. It's like you're on an episode of The Chase answering the world's simplest question. And it's like, which number follows 8? Is it 9, 10, or 12? And they're like, they've clearly been told to think it out. So they go, well, 12 is...
Well, I live at number 6.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that therefore... This is another classic episode where the one in the title is probably the least fun one.
Right.
So... I'm saying that's engagement picture. Let's do that.
I mean, my first thought about this was, lol, engagement announcements in the paper. That really dates it, doesn't it? Does that still happen?
Well, certainly not the sort of size of the article.
It's a whole page, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty hefty.
I was thinking that. What news is happening in Jack and Judy's hometown that they've been afforded this amount of coverage?
Like, I know, like, royals and stuff post them in the posh papers.
Right.
When that still happens. It's quite a sort of middle to upper class thing in this country, I mean, I would say.
You do have to legally publish the banns of marriage, don't you? But I think that's usually like a tiny square in the back of a thing. Whereas this is like...
Back of what thing?
Back of a publication. Is it in the newspaper anymore? Or is it in like something or other? I don't really remember.
What, everyone who gets married or engaged?
I think they're published somewhere, certainly, yeah. And then they read them out in church, don't they?
That's mental.
You can tell that you didn't grow up as a choir boy, Peter. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if you're going to get married in a church, they publish your banns of marriage 3 times. They have to do it 3 weeks in a row before it's official. It's really weird and archaic, but I think they still do that.
God, you have so many opportunities to ruin an engagement, don't you?
100%. Like
are those moments where you can step in and be like, no, that engagement is a sham.
Unengage them.
Yeah. It's a very extensive, it's like a full article written about them.
Yeah, 100%.
And famously, 100%. Not even with a picture of the groom.
No, a giant photo of, let's assume most of the people reading that and looking at the picture know Jack and Judy because it's like their local paper. So they know that's not Chandler. So what are they achieving by putting Joey in it?
Yeah, that's true. In fact, that surely, if there is any kind of official need to declare this,
right?
I feel like using a picture of someone else is a no-no.
Fraud. Cry fraud to the rooftops.
Yeah, bullshit. Sham marriage.
Yeah, sham. I feel like the whole Chandler can't smile thing, for me, do you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the episode where Rachel gives up gossiping for New Year's resolution, a trait she's never once exhibited in the previous six seasons or five seasons.
Yeah.
And Chandler, like, has definitely smiled in photos for like 7 years, absolutely with no issue. And suddenly they've just gone, what's the thing he can do in this week's episode? And they sort of created this trait that has never been referred to, never been needed, you know? You'd think if someone was that bad at taking photos in a friendship group that tight, they'd talk about it all the time, wouldn't they?
Also, I know Friends plays it fast and loose with affordability, given the apartments that they live in, et cetera. But photo shoots are expensive, and they seem to have about three rounds of photos to eventually get one of Monica and someone else.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, so they've gone twice with Chandler and then once with Joey. Jack and Judy springing for this, are they?
Yeah.
They're that desperate to have their daughter in a paper and alongside a man she doesn't even marry?
I can relate to how uncomfortable photo shoots are, but I can't relate to being completely incapable of an even slightly natural smile.
No, it's very strange, isn't it? I think that's also the thing, is A, we've never heard about it before, and B, it's a completely unrealistic trait, I think, to having someone. And maybe someone will get in touch and say they have a similar thing. But I think that even if you just don't smile at all, it would look better than the weird, like, grimace thing he does.
The other thing, I've been in limited photo shoots in my entire life, but I would say that the one thing in such an environment that is difficult to make natural.
Yeah.
It's not the smile. I think it's the hands. What do you do with your hands?
Oh, yes.
You're going to fold your arms? What? You're going to put them behind your back? Yeah. I think that is more unnatural.
Agreed. I think, again, you just sort of... A neutral face is fine for a photo, isn't it? But the hands and the arms are absolute night... They're nightmarish, Pete. That haunts me, the idea of what to do with my arms and hands. I also... This is much more unrelatable as a situation, but it's very similar. Is like, if you're on stage holding a microphone, very comfortable. But if you ever have to wear one of those, like, ones that sort of, like a Britney mic, you know?
So
you suddenly got two arms free, and, like, what the fuck are you doing with them when you're doing stuff on stage?
Of course, famously, in every photo, you pose with both hands behind your head.
And me? Yeah. And topless, of course. You know?
Yeah. I think the tongue towards your armpit is a lot, but...
Look, when you got pits like this, Pete...
It gets a response.
You got to show them off. If you've got it, flaunt it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this episode for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, Chandler takes an antihistamine, which is basically a hay fever tablet, right? Like, we take antihistamines all the time.
Why is he like, high?
Why is he off his tits?
Like, aren't antihistamines for, like, if you're allergic to a cat? Yeah.
This is basically my takeaway. Are antihistamines different in America? Because he falls asleep, not only on the subway, but in the photo studio whilst having a photo taken. He is giving like morphine levels of, you know, sort of like proper drowsiness of a medical nature. And like over here, we're popping antihistamines all the time, aren't we, in the spring?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like,
we're coming into prime antihistamine season.
I've got a bloody drawer full of them upstairs. I'm going to take five a day. Like, if I reacted like those to Chandler does to his, I'd be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's really strange. I can't quite work out what he's taken or how much of it he's taken, because he's basically, like you say, out of it. He's high. Why is he that high? So, as we're saving Ross and Phoebe for the end, that leaves us with Rachel and Ted.
I'd like to start this section of Friends of Friends with a question for you, Dave. No cheating.
Yes, please.
No Googling. So, you know, there's this line where Tag says, kind of old, like 30. So, firstly, that stung. Secondly, I was like, hang on, how old is Tag? Because if you look at him, like, he's a fine figure of a man. He is a well-developed adult man. How old do you think the actor who plays Tag was when he was Tag?
Oh, right. Because I think they do mention that he's like 24 in Friends, the character. But how old's the actor?
Have a guess.
I always thought he was about, I thought he was about 30.
He's 22.
Fuck off. Yeah. 22?
Like, unless he's lied on his resume, American word. I looked it up and yeah, he was 22 when he was in Friends. He's like...
We pronounce it resume.
Resume, yes, we do. But like, he must have been one of those people at school who looks about like 18 when they're like five.
He had a full chest of hair in the showers after sports day, didn't he?
Yeah, and everyone looked at him and was like, oh, God, if only I had chest hair.
That is astonishing. 22, honestly, 30 minimum for
me. The jawline on him as a 22. Oh, no. And he's like, he's clearly stacked, right? And then it became slightly more plausible when I looked at what he looks like these days. And I was like, okay, handsome 46-year-old man. But still.
What's his name in real life?
Eddie Cahill.
That's right.
Eddie. He is a very handsome man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is. He's very American businessman, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Looks he, really
in fact, he looks like the sort of person, if you bought a photo frame, he'd be in the stock photo with a very happy child.
Yes, you're absolutely right. 22, mate. I cannot fathom that, honestly. Well, at least that kind of rings true as to why he thinks 30's old, at least, you know?
Yeah.
So they've actually aged him up as a character, because I think he's like 24 in Friends. Oh, I might have made that up. But still, 22. My jaw is on the floor.
Yeah. Or is your jaw as chiseled as his?
I think this is... it's absolutely not as chiseled. That's why I've got a beard, Pete.
Yeah.
Men with beards, not chiseled jawed people.
I have a beard. No, you're right. I'm not chiseled. That makes sense.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Follow that train of logic through, Pete.
I am not.
We have beards to cover up our chiselless features, I'd say, overall. Anyway, I just think it's worth noting, apropos of nothing, that feels like quite a lot of detail to me on a podcast, going back through the bit part actor's age and birthday to work out how old he was at the time of recording.
But that's the detail that people fucking love, Dave.
People love that. And it's a sort of detail you get on a podcast where the two hosts really care.
Really care about
really
it, yeah.
Fucking care.
How much jam is in that donut that explodes over Joey?
Now, interestingly, I don't know if you've had this experience, but this week, and this week alone, and this is why it was very relevant, I've got a lot of TikTok adverts for a very jam-filled donut that they sell at Foreign Market.
That's a very specific
four
TikTok
times
ad.
A day. Isn't it? And I don't know if any... Hopefully someone else has seen this. Please do let me know if you've seen it. And I nearly went and bought some. But guess how much 6 donuts cost at this place, Pete?
So Borough Market, I reckon you're talking £6 a donut. But I reckon
you've ever cranked it. You've done that thing where it's... Yeah.
Have I?
It's £28. Yeah.
Well, no, do you know what I was going to say? I reckon £6 a donut, but if you buy a batch of them, they'll knock a couple of quid off. So I think I would have been quite close.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, absolutely right. But still a lot too much for a donut. Anyway, I keep seeing people bite into them on TikTok and all that sort of amount of jam deliberately spills out the front. So it was very nice to see Joey do what we were all doing in real life and spill it accidentally out the back onto his shirt.
I think it sort of... The squirt is very aggressive. I would love to know whether they intentionally overfilled a donut. Like, did they sort of inject it with more jam? If you bought that at Borough Market for £6 for £28, you'd certainly get your money's worth of filling.
You absolutely would. Do you know what? Weirdly, and I know, like, occasionally we'll sort of mention people that we know and that we've met and that might become relevant, but... I could try and verify the insertion of jam into a donut and whether that is an overfilled jam donut.
What do you mean?
Who
do you know?
So my business partner...
You've got friends in high donut places.
My business partner, Lucy, okay, and I don't know if this is... I'm going to not give any surnames, but she, who I run the piano bar with, her dad invented the machine that injects jam into donuts.
Amazing.
Isn't that a great claim to fame?
That is really great, yeah.
And
did he patent it?
No, mate. It's a shambles. He worked for a well-known bakery brand at the time. And he also invented the machine that makes mini rolls.
What a talented man.
Isn't that a lot going on?
Although I don't really like a mini roll.
I love a jam mini roll, interestingly. A normal one I can take or leave. Jam, oh yes, please.
No, I think mini rolls don't have enough bite to them.
Mm, I do soft. Understand your point. Yeah, I understand your point, but I like a soft cake bar every now and then. Let's get back to Rachel and Tag, shall we? Because we've talked about Joey's jam on his shirt. I mean, for a man that hates Ralph Lauren shirts, he's certainly happy to take 10 of them as a sort of negotiation, payment, isn't
yeah.
he? Also, I think this is probably my least favourite bit in all of Friends, this one line. And I hope you'll agree with me why it's just so annoying. But we discussed Joey's stupidity quite a lot, of course. But the moment where Rachel says, I'll give you 10 Ralph Lauren shirts, and he goes, one.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fucking, that doesn't make any sense at all. No one would ever negotiate with one. One is the lowest number.
Yeah,
like,
he is no negotiating situation. Up from nowhere.
Yeah, in which anyone would negotiate one. He's not that stupid. No one would ever say one. Why didn't he give a different number? Like, any number lower than 10 would have made that joke work, right? I'll give you 10, and he goes 5, thinking he's missed on it. But one? Ugh. No, thank you. Get in the bloody bin with the stained Ralph Lauren shirt with loads of jam on it.
Rachel sniffing Tag's clothing is extremely odd, isn't it?
I think this is a classic flip it and reverse it and you're looking at prison time. an older male boss doing, like on a TV show. Can you imagine this? Mm. An older male boss and a, as we now know, 22-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Who is their assistant. And not only are they sort of developing this crush, which is leading them to make enemies in the office with that woman Melissa that comes in. Like, do you really like Tag that much that you're happy to be hated by everybody else in the office in your attempts to put them off him? Not only is she doing that, she's then setting him up to go out with her friends so he doesn't get with anyone else, basically. And like you say, sniffing his gym kit.
You know, when we do get those occasional quite funny moments where you just see a little glimpse at the former quite bratty, spoilt Rachel.
Yeah.
I do love that moment where she slips into like office pitch mode where she says about telling your supervisor.
We'll call your supervisor. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she does a like little eye roll as if she's not the unreasonable one.
No, she's really committing to this bit is what I would say. And again, flip it and reverse it, Pete, an older male boss, then paying their friend to take this young assistant out. Quite mad, isn't it?
Do you know what's not clear? Is when Tag and Joey go out, Tag makes a reference to having got loads of numbers, and that is seen as like a successful night for him, right? It's not clear whether he like took anyone home.
It doesn't seem like he did, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that is kind of in keeping of how sort of, you know, quite young and innocent he is that he didn't end up in that situation, but still.
I just would have thought that if you're out for that long, he says he clocked 20 numbers. That is extreme by anyone. Why are you still looking for new numbers after, say, 10, even 5? Like, you've got enough numbers for a night. Have a nice night. Stop chirpsing.
Yeah, chirpsing.
That's a blast from the past, isn't it? And also, what are you doing, Rachel, sending Tag out with Joey if you want the whole purpose is to avoid him flirting with other women?
Yeah, what do you expect?
Like, to send him out with Chandler, as Joey points out. That would be a great, boring night out for Tag that would definitely not end in sex. Would be a night out with Chandler, especially married Chandler or engaged Chandler, but even single Chandler, I think, would have been a fairly solid cop at that, you know? But not with Joey. You're basically giving him license to whore his way around New York City, aren't you? And then the pièce de résistance. I just think this whole episode makes Rachel look bad. She tries to ban Tag from dating women by getting her friend to manipulate him into not, let's be honest, into not being happy so she's happy, you know? He's trying to get Joey to manipulate Tag into going, oh, don't try and get with women, you know?
It's not a great look for Rachel this episode, isn't it? It's kind of like how she behaves around Joshua, though.
Yes, it is. It's a real extreme version of her personality, isn't it? And I'm not sure she gets away with answering the non-ringing phone and saying, oh, this is going to take a while, after she's just said, I would love to to tag when he didn't ask her out. Like, I know he walks out of the room in that moment, but did he just leave it there? I think he might address that at a future moment, wouldn't you? Anyway, please enjoy some advertisements for Ralph Lauren shirts and jam donuts from Borough Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
To the best bit.
To the best bit. Hey, first, Pete, what's wrong with humming while you pee?
Yeah, that seems to be like a major issue, doesn't it?
A big personality flaw for both boys and girls in this episode. And I'm not sure if I do hum while I pee, but I don't think I'd even clock it if somebody else did, would you?
I think it might be like, I'm just trying to think how I'd feel if I was in some men's loos and someone nearby was humming. I think it's a little bit of a power move. Humming while you pee is a little bit like manspreading.
Right.
It's quite territorial.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this I guess is my so. Space. If I want to hum, I
yeah,
will.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But also, I feel like a lot of what happens in men's bathrooms, strange start to any sentence, but I feel like a lot of that is like men just being sort of in a space where they sort of feel like they can let anything out.
Do you know what is horrendous, but, even though it absolutely shouldn't be? Because where can you do it if not there?
Farting while you're peeing?
Farting at the urinals.
Yeah. Now, I knew you were going to say that.
I know that shouldn't be horrific because, like I say, where can you do that if not in that setting?
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. Do you prefer it when the farter follows it up with a cheeky quip or when they just keep quiet?
I think I'd be so mortified to have witnessed it. Yeah. That I wouldn't want the quip.
No, I there's quite often a quip in my experience. A sort of, oh, better out than in, or oh, that's the lunch or something, you know? There's a lot of that because they're covering up their perceived embarrassment. But like you say, it's basically a toilet. There's probably someone having a shit about 3 feet from you. So what's a fart between friends, you know?
I think as well, do you think it's a confidence that you acquire with age? Because I would, right, if I say you're in urinals and someone farts at a nearby urinal. Yeah. I hate the fact that we're talking about, I don't like toilet humour, so I don't like that we're talking about farts. But
this is the sort of detail people don't appreciate on a podcast, Pete.
No. Well, you're in it now. Yeah. If you're at a urinal and someone nearby does that, who are you picturing?
Oh yeah, businessman that's had two glasses of red wine with lunch and is about
middle-aged
55.
White man.
Yeah, exactly. With his shirt untucked ceremoniously as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they do a little, shoulder shrug after they did it.
Yeah, they don't give a shit anymore, mate, do they? Mm. Don't give a shit anymore. Farts while you pee would have been a better nickname. At least then I'd have gone, I can see your issue with it. Although I tell you what Ross does say later, which does bring it into sharper focus, is he says it makes him miss the bowl. So now I'm just imagining him basically just like spraying everywhere whilst he's humming. So like humming a jolly tune while he just pisses all over the wall and floor.
Well, surely wayward pissing is a bigger crime than humming.
Agreed. That's what I thought. Hums while you pee. And then you drop the bombshell that pees on the floor or the wall. Like, that's much worse, right? Some really good lines in this plot line. He's getting divorced. Ross, maybe you know him. And all this sort of...
Yeah, that's great.
That's what they put on the napkins at the club. I love all that sort of stuff. That's so funny and so really, like, peak Friends silliness, isn't it?
There's just some amazing lines in this. Like, at breakfast, I'll be on full alert for room painting and sex weapons.
Yeah.
The bit during the big, like, Ross and Phoebe... kind of like parody argument where someone brings up New Year's Eve 1997. Like, it's a brilliant, that's an amazing Ross and Phoebe scene, but that's generally really this is a brilliant Ross and Phoebe episode.
Yeah, it's so good the way that they do that sort of parallel argument thing, but it's the two people that weren't involved who have all the details, and it does actually show how neither of them should frankly be in a relationship with the other two, because they're clearly not over it if they've given them this much information about their relationships. I also really like Phoebe's line when she's in the apartment at first and she shouts, "That woman is crazy." And then she goes, "Your door isn't soundproof." Funny line in itself. But then Phoebe turns it and goes, "See, nothing is good enough for her." And it's like, that is really fucking funny.
There's also that very widely shared blooper, isn't there, where Phoebe, where she screams at Ross when she gets up from the sofa in Central Perk and says, "We want the past." I can't remember how many years back.
7 years, like, but that.
Yeah, like Phoebe cracking up there is, I mean, it'll be on YouTube. Yeah. That's a commonly shared outtake, isn't it?
Be on the old internet there, it will, I'll tell you that. I think Ross gets a bit harsh stick from Phoebe in this, because she asks him to divert her. And clearly the way you would do that is with some sort of charm, be that just to get past her briefly or whatever. But Ross is clearly going to have to turn on some sort of charm to try and divert this woman that he has no intention of diverting otherwise. And therefore, it stands to reason that they might have hit it off and had a chat. You know, I think Phoebe is out of line to be giving Ross stick for doing her a favour, basically. And also, further to that, the whole thing starts with Phoebe trying to warn Ross off Whitney. And I just think, if I'm honest, Phoebe wouldn't immediately just take the word of a man whose opening gambit is "that woman is crazy," which is what he says at the start. You know, it's quite red flaggy that she's just believed him at that stage and gone, "Yep, that woman, she be crazy." Because you know what they say, Pete, about men that say their exes are mad?
It was probably then that was the problem.
Anyway, this comes back to my point that I made at the start of the episode. Because part of this takes place while Rachel is having lunch in Central Perk, right?
Yeah.
And Phoebe says, "Oh, you don't have to go back now. You've still got half an hour left of your lunch break." You know, and she goes, makes some creepy comment about watching Tag do sit-ups in his office. Why is Rachel at Central Perk on her lunch break? Like, I don't want to say I deep-dived, but for George, I deep-dived, all right? Ralph Lauren has a number of offices in New York. There's one in New Jersey, irrelevant. It's not going to be that one. There's one on Madison Avenue, which is right up by Central Park, which is fucking miles away. The nearest Ralph Lauren office is in Chelsea. Now, Peter, that is a 34-minute walk, or 22 minutes on the subway, according to Google Maps' best estimate. If you've got an hour for lunch, which I believe is traditional, then even if you get the subway and all the timings go well, you're looking at a 44-minute round trip, which leaves you approximately 16 minutes to sit with the people you see every day and every night in the coffee house. What the fuck are you doing?
She just really values their company, even just briefly.
She loves it. Or also, doesn't she have friends at work? Doesn't she have people to hang out with? Can't she spend an hour on her own at work?
Well, no, maybe she's just known as the office clothes sniffer, so nobody wants to spend any time with her.
Everyone hates her because she fucking acts incredibly unreasonably when anyone shows any interest in anybody else. But I just think there's a bit of a deep dive to be done on Rachel's sort of loneliness issue if she can't not be with her friends for 16 minutes and it's worth a 44-minute round trip, you know? Because the other option is she could get a 10-minute cab, Pete. But again, if you're spending money on a cab both ways, you really need to be with those friends, don't you? Anyway, back to the storyline and not into the deep dives. Phoebe brings home Wally P to the coffee house midday, which was quite interesting. "I'm having a really good time," she says. This is just before Whitney appears. Why are they stopping off midday at the coffee house? Another strange location choice.
It's quite a needy, insecure thing to be like, I'm having a nice time. You're having a nice time.
And she knows her friends are there, and she knows it's going to be a situation that ultimately does work out, because apparently Whitney turns up. Apparently everybody just hangs at the coffee house, even him and his ex-wife and her friends. Like, no one's going anywhere else. Is it the middle of the day? Sure seems like it for the middle of the date. Very odd. Quite a lot of besmirching of ballroom dancing in this episode, isn't there?
Yes, it's seen as very naff, whereas in these strictly come dancing times, it would be quite reputable.
Well, I think my friend Jack, who I know doesn't listen to this podcast, but just for the record, I think he would be very disappointed in me if I didn't stand up for ballroom dancing as a honourable and exciting hobby and or... It's not a sport, really, I guess, is it? Activity? Well,
dancing's a sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's more of an art.
Is it in the Olympics?
Dancing.
Ballroom dancing?
Olympic dancing.
Is it? I don't know. I mean, ice dancing is, you know, is basically dancing on ice, isn't it?
Is ballroom dancing in the... It's not classified as an Olympic sport.
No, that's fine then. Well, there you go. But yeah, I'm just flying the flag for ballroom dancing for all those people that regularly do it, eh? And yeah, luckily, good. Ross Geller is on the case in the episode, saving the reputation of ballroom dancing, because he clearly thinks that's worth the strange interaction with that woman. Anyway, classic resolution between Humswally Peas and Whitney when they get back together, and Ross and Phoebe probably ultimately look the worst coming out of the situation, don't they? They get back together, Ross and Phoebe make up, Bob's your uncle, play a thing.
Play a thing.
Hey Pete, do we have a quiz?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, boy. And that's from Kate in York, I believe, is that right?
It is. Give me 2 seconds.
I read that in the request earlier and then omitted the line at the end where she said, I will also provide a quiz because I wanted to keep everyone guessing.
Right, ready?
Yes.
What was in the bowl on Monica's kitchen table?
Oh, God. Lemons.
Green apples. Or Granny Smith's.
Ooh.
What would be on the napkins at Ross's Sad Men Club?
Divorced men aren't bad men.
Is correct. Yes. What basketball moves and scores are Chandler and Ross discussing as they enter the coffee shop?
There's a layup and a three-pointer, I think.
Reverse layup.
Reverse layup. Oh, man.
Who does Rachel jump to the conclusion that Tag is dating? I know this because the... vulgar language stood out. That slut in marketing is the answer there.
Oh, crikey.
And question 5, what's on the whiteboard? Classic quiz question.
That is. I didn't not clock it, did you?
No. Apparently it's a surfer falling off a wave and a dog. Dog may or may not be part of the surfing tableau.
Or good just detail. Nearby.
Hey, do you want to know what next week's episode is?
Always.
Actually, do you know what I'll do very soon?
Yeah.
We're not near the end of all the requests,
sure.
But we've got a handful of requests left. So what I might do soon is put the old remaining episodes on the old Instagram and we can open the gates to requests once again.
Open the bidding.
But for the time being, until we do that, next week's episode comes from Hannah. And it is season 5, episode 4, the one where Phoebe hates PBS.
Oh, I haven't done that, have we not? Lovely. Okay, I'll enjoy that one, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
See you then, Peter.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.